I'll be reading from John 8, verses 21 through 32. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They ask. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I've heard from him I will tell the world. They did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just of what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he has spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We're good. Now, you should be able to hear me. You know, probably most of you watch movies from time to time, and if you've watched enough movies, you might pick up on some kind of truisms, some things that just, if you watch the movies, you would think the way that everybody does it the same exact way. For example, all grocery bags contain at least one stick of French bread. Okay?
That's true.
You ever notice that when they go shopping? It's always got a loaf of French bread in there. Or, here's another one. The ventilation system of any building is the perfect hiding place, right? The Eiffel Tower can be seen from any window in Paris. And this one, I like this one. A man will show no pain while taking the most ferocious beating, but will wince when a woman tries to clean his wounds. You ever notice that? You know, a car crash will almost always burst into flames. And you can always park directly outside the building you are visiting. Try that in real life. Any lock can be picked by a credit card or a paper clip in seconds. Unless it's the door of a burning building with a child trapped in, then the door has to be knocked down. All bombs are fitted with electronic timing devices with large red readouts so you know exactly when they're going to go off. It's not necessary to say hello or goodbye when you're beginning or ending a phone conversation. Any person who's waking up from a nightmare is going to sit straight up and pant. All right. And this is my favorite, because you see this all the time. It doesn't matter if you are heavily outnumbered in a fight involving martial arts. Your enemies will wait to attack you one by one, dancing around in a threatening manner until you have knocked out their predecessors. Okay? And I see, you see that all the time. You know, there's one guy, and they all just wait to come at him. Is it? You know, now in real life, we know that these things aren't true. I mean, how many of us, number one, how many of us ever buy a loaf of French bread that just hangs out of there without any bag or anything on it? You know, we don't do that. You know, those things are all, but they seem true. If you were just watching the movies, you would think that was true. Now, truth is an interesting word, especially in our world today. There's a lot of people who have a lot of different ideas of what truth is. So I decided to go to the dictionary and find out what it says, okay? And actually, this is a pretty good definition. It says that truth is conformity to fact or actuality. Okay, conformity to fact or actuality. Truth is, the second definition is, it's reality. The truth is reality. The truth is actuality. And the third one is the reality of a situation. That's what truth is, the reality of a situation. Notice what it says there all the time, the reality. All right, reality. What's real? What is true? Jesus said in John 14:6, and we looked at this verse last week, he said that he was the way and the truth and the life. Today we're going to look at that second part, the truth. You know, later on in the book of John, we see an exchange between Jesus and Pilate. This is when Jesus is on trial. And this is what how it goes. It says in John 18, starting with verse 33, it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate responds with this famous line, "What is truth? What is truth?" You know, that's a question that a lot of people ask today. What is truth? You know, what is it? What is truth? You know, with all the misinformation, all the information, the misinformation, the disinformation that's available on social media, on TV, on the radio, on the internet, sometimes it's hard to know what's really true. You know, sometimes I'll say, "Well, I saw this. I don't know if it's true." All right, and I probably shouldn't say it if I don't know that it's true or not, all right? But you see so much stuff, and you wonder, is this true or not? And you try to find other sources and such just to find out whether it is or not. And some would have us think that the truth can be relative, that it can depend on the situation. The truth can depend on the situation. And I've even heard people say, you know, "I have my truth, and you have your truth." Now, according to the dictionary, that's not true. That can't be the truth, all right? The truth is what's real, the reality of a situation. It's the actuality of it. But I think what they're really trying to say, perhaps, is that I have my experiences and you have your experiences. And now that makes sense, all right? Because we do have different experiences. But sometimes our experiences can then kind of taint our truth, what we think is true. All right. Just like if we only watched the movies, we would think that every grocery bag had a loaf of French bread. Or that when somebody's going to fight you, a group of people are going to fight you, they only come one at a time. You might think those things because that's been your experience. And so maybe, for example, you know, if a woman has had terrible relationships with the men that she's dated, you know, maybe they've been abusive verbally and physically, then she might think that all men are bad. If every car that we owned had issues, you know, it always, something went wrong with it every time we had the car, you know, we just bought it and we had a lemon every time, we would think that every car is bad and just expect that we can't find a car that's going to work. And I know this is true because I've seen this happen with people. If we get sick after eating some food, okay, guess what we do? We stay away from that food. Why? Because we think it's going to make us sick. Whether that's what made us sick or not, sometimes we might have just got a stomach virus or whatever, but we assume that that is going to make us sick. I'm going to tell on Karen, she's not here, but I would have said it if she was here. But I like Indian food, and we made food at chicken tikka masala one time at home, and the next day she got sick, all right? And she blames the chicken tikka masala. I had the same thing. I didn't get sick. So I don't blame it. All right. But she just doesn't want to have it. And she knows in her mind that that's not what made her sick. But still, because that's the last thing she had, she didn't want anything to do with it. All right. She has eaten it since then, but she's not real excited about it. Let's just put it that way. And so sometimes our experiences can kind of decide how we're going to look at things. They can have a, you know, make how we look at things and our truth become relative because we're not really seeing all that there is. You know? So what is Jesus meaning when he says that he is the truth? And when he says, if we hold to his teachings, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. What is he meaning by that? Okay? Well, here's a few things I think. Number one, all truth is grounded in Jesus. All truth is grounded in Him. When we see Jesus, everything that is truthful, everything that He says is truth. You see, being God, He is the one who has authored what is true. And everything that is true comes from Him. For example, the laws of nature. Okay? That's something that you can't change. The law of gravity, you know, if you drop something. Yeah, I'm not going to drop that. I'll just drop that. You know, if I drop that, it's going to fall. We know that, right? We know that if we drop something, it is going to fall to the ground. You know, we don't have to wonder whether or not it's going to float up or go sideways or anything like that. It is going to fall. Even if I throw it out that way, it's eventually going to hit the ground, isn't it? Because that's one of the laws of nature. And we should be, and we can't change that. And we can't have our opinion on it. It is true. And that comes from God the Father. You know, we look at all these different things, the law of thermodynamics, and I don't remember what it is, but but all these different things that are true about nature, they come from the Creator, don't they? They didn't just happen and appear somewhere. Someone had to make these laws. And God is the one who made these laws. Morality. As much as we want to think that morality can be changed, it can't. It can't. And there's a reason why people get upset if their partner, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their husband, their wife, if they cheat on them. You know, if morality doesn't really matter, if it isn't something that should be true for all people, then why do people get upset about it? Because it's something that we know is true. That once we are together, we should stay together. We know that it's wrong to steal stuff. We know that it's wrong to kill someone. These are laws of morality that are just true. And I don't care where you go, it's true wherever you go. Now, people may decide they don't want to go by that, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. And they know deep inside of them that it is. And the reason we have those laws, those moral laws, is because God knows what's best for us. He doesn't do it to make life hard, to take away our fun. He does it because He knows what's best. And so all these rules help us to get along with each other. They help us to have a rich and full life if we follow them. You know, have you ever wondered about, you know, venereal diseases and such? What happens if everybody stays faithful to their husband and wife? Guess what? They go away. All right? And so God does it not to stop us from having fun, but to help us to have the best possible life because He knows what's best for us. And He also, all truth is grounded in Him as far as spirituality goes. I know so many people try to find God in different ways, different paths. And last week we talked about that a little bit. There is only one way. Jesus said there is only one way, and that is through Him. And we can try to find it some other way. Like I said, Warren Buffett said that, you know, by giving a lot of his billions of dollars away, that that's a good way to get to heaven. That's not a way at all. He may think it is, but it's not the way at all. It's only through Jesus. And so all truth is grounded in Him. All truth comes from Him. It goes through Him. And He is it. Now, on the other side, Satan is the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said this. It's just a little down a little bit from where He said this about the truth. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." You know, I thought it was interesting when it said he was a murderer from the beginning. And I thought, okay. But you know what? What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They died. He brought death into the world. And so all lies, all the stuff that we want to believe, or people want to believe, that is false, that is lies, that go against God, they come from the father of lies, the one who wants us to not have a relationship with God the Father. He wants to keep us from that. And so he tells us, he feeds us lies and goes against what Jesus says, what God says. And so all truth is grounded in Jesus. And then the second thing I want us to know is that knowing Jesus, who is the truth, frees us. Knowing Jesus, who is the truth, frees us. Did you notice what he said there? He said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it's not just about believing the right things. It's not just about knowing what's true and what's not. It's really about knowing who is true. Knowing who Jesus is. And when he says the truth will set you free, he means himself. Notice what he says in John 8, 34 to 36, just a little bit down from where he says that. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So you understand what he's saying there? He said he's the truth later on. He says the truth will set you free. Here he says the son will set you free. And that's S-O-N, by the way, just to make sure you understand what son we're talking about. But he says that's what's going to set you free, the son. And so it's only when we come to know Jesus and when we realize that he is the way, that's only when we come to him through the truth that we can have relationship with God. And he sets us free from all that is a lie, all that encumbers us and holds us back. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." Okay? It says to set us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, no longer are we held captive by sin. No longer does death have any hold on us. Once we come to Christ, we are not going to die. Now, I have to say one little thing. Yeah, we're going to die. This body is going to die. But here's the thing. This body is not us. Sometimes we put too much, we give this body too much credit. And we think that this body is who we are because we're so tied to it. It's all we know. It's how we experience everything around us. But this body is not us. That's in our spirit, in our soul. That's us. And that is not going to die. Matter of fact, as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be what? Home with the Lord. And so Jesus sets us free from death, from being separated from God for all eternity, which is that's the second death. And he enables us to have eternal life where we're going to live with God on a new earth forever. So he sets us free from that. But not only that, he sets us free from sin. And that's a hard one for us to understand. We don't have to sin any longer. And I know people really have a hard time with that because, let's face it, we all still struggle with sin. We all do. I mean, I do. If anybody out there doesn't, I want to talk to you because I want to figure out how you do it exactly. But here's the thing. Sin has no real power over us anymore. We're free from that because we've been made new. And now what he wants us to do is to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but to start getting into his word and getting to know him. And as we get to know him, it changes our heart. It changes our mind. It transforms how we think. And we start thinking instead of like the world that we have been a part of, we start thinking the way that God thinks. We start thinking according to what his will instead of our will. And so sin becomes something that becomes not such a big distraction to us any longer. But pleasing God and doing what he wants becomes our desire. You know, why does the scripture say that God will give us the desires of our heart? Because when we have transformed into His likeness, as we have been renewed by His word, our desires become what He desires. And so sin, He sets us free from sin. And I've seen that in people's life. I've seen it in my own life. How God changes us. His Spirit in us enables us to be transformed. To transform as we get into His Word and know it. And so sin becomes something that we lose a taste for, so to speak. And we want is to taste and see that the Lord is good. And then the last thing I want us to know is this, is that Jesus tells us what is true about ourselves. He tells us what is true about ourselves. When we aren't in relationship with Jesus, we're lost. There's no doubt about that. Anybody who doesn't know Jesus, anybody who hasn't accepted Him for what He has done, they haven't accepted what He's done for them, they're lost. We're sinners separated from God. And Satan likes to fill people with all kinds of lies about who they are and that they don't need a relationship with God the Father. But when we know Jesus, what we find out is we know the Father. In our Sunday school class, we were just talking about that today, that if we know Jesus, we know the Father. Because they're one and the same. And then when we know Jesus, we have a new identity. We're no longer sinners. We are children of God. We're children of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, we read these, and I think this is a powerful passage. It says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Okay, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Because probably a lot of us might be in there somewhere. But notice the next part he says, "And that is what some of you were." I love that. He says, "That's what some of you were." Past tense. He says, "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You get that? He says, we're different now. We've been washed. All that was against us, all that sin has been washed away. We've been sanctified. We've made holy. We've been made to be what God always wanted us to be. And we've been justified. We can stand in front of God and be confident. Why? Because there's no condemnation in the name of Jesus. When we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. We can stand right there in front of God and stand there knowing that we're in good relationship because of Jesus. So we may have been sinners. We may have been people who didn't care about what God thought. But once we accept what Christ has done for us, we are now His children. Now, does that mean we don't sin? No. As children, we still sometimes mess up. And my children, when they were growing up, I loved my children. They were my children. But sometimes they did things that I told them not to do. Now, I'm sure for a lot of you, that never happened in your house. But but the thing is that I loved them. And they were still my children. Just because they did wrong didn't remove them from being my children. Now, if they had continued and they'd done some things that I just were totally wrong, I would have probably had to say, you're going to have to go somewhere else. But they didn't do that. Not that they didn't do things that were wrong. They just always came back and were sorry and did what was right. And that's what we do. And we are still God's children. But the thing is, we hope that we mature. And you know, my kids, when they were really young, they messed up a lot. They tried me. I mean, they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And if they didn't, they threw a fit, you know. But as they got older, that changed. And for the most part, as they got older, they didn't do that much that was wrong. Maybe they did some things that annoyed me and irked me a little bit, but it didn't really wasn't wrong. Just isn't the way I would have done it or whatever. So, but the truth is that, you know, they're still my children. And same thing is with us. So we're still God's children. That doesn't change unless we decide we want to go back the other way. But here's the thing. Satan, who is the father of what? Lies. Wants you to believe that you can never be worthy of God's love. That you can never be worthy of it. And you know what? In a sense, he's right. Because we can't be worthy of it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We may not be worthy of it, but we're loved in spite of that. And God does love us very, very much. And Jesus gives us the right to be God's children. In John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, it says this, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, we're talking about Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so Satan's out there. He's trying to lie to us and tell us that we can never be good enough, that we can never be God's children, that God doesn't want anything to do with us. Or he's lying and saying we don't need God. No, lying about who we are, our identities. Boy, that's a big word right now, isn't it? He lies about who we are. What matters and what's only important is who Jesus says. There's a song by Lauren Daigle called You Say. And the words go like this. It says, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I am weak. And you say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. Jesus is the truth. And he will set you free. The question is, do you believe? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that Jesus came here so that we could become your children. And Father, it just comes down to our believing what is true. Believing that he is the truth. Believing that when he says he is the way, that he is the way. That we don't have to wonder. We don't have to be concerned about that. We know it is truth. So help us, Father, to trust in him. Because when something is true, we need to trust it. And so because Jesus is true, we know that when we trust in him, when we put our faith totally in him, that you will give us that freedom. That you will make us into your children. That we no longer will be what we were, but will be washed and be sanctified and justified, Father, in Jesus' name. So help us to believe, Father. And like the man who said, you know, when he asked whether he believed or not, he says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Help us, Father, in our unbelief. When we allow Satan to lie to us and tell us things that aren't true, help us instead hear the voice of Jesus and know what is true. It's in His name we pray, Father. Amen. We're going to sing our song Commitment, and the song that we're going to sing is Standing on the Promises. And that's what we have to stand on, the promises. If Jesus is the truth, then everything that He said is truth. And so when He promises something, it's a promise that's going to be kept. So let's stand and let's sing. We'll sing verses 1 and 3, I think it is. Mm-hmm.